See, I think that I think it's worth talking about it a little bit more. There's a lot. The Psalms have an ache in it. If you read the Psalms, there's an ache from David, an ache from those others that have written the Psalms. And I was reading like the Merriam-Webster dictionary, right, and it defines like loneliness as like the condition of being without friends or company. And that sounds like a very simple definition and true. Also, I think it's more than that, because we feel loneliness when we're with people we love. We feel loneliness when we're in a crowd, that kind of stuff. So I think that, like, because we're a society that does, we don't understand our emotional side. We kind of call it like a negative thing, and I don't think it is. And I think God created us to be emotional. And if you read Jesus' story, he's emotional at times. And he's a direct connection and extension from God. And then God has emotions. He feels jealousy towards those he loves, and he gets angry. And there's emotion in God, right? Love. That even though there's a discipline of love, there's also the emotion of love. And he feels both. So I think that, like, if for us to start to understand our emotional content is important. Because it opens up the door for us to be able to connect with God in another way. So sometimes we feel this ache. So I was thinking today, I'm going to play a song. But while I go into the song, so I want you to close your eyes and picture a table. It's a picture of feast. Okay, we don't have the bread. We don't have the juice today. But every time we get together, we conduct communion. And if we look at it that way, sometimes the actual bread and juice are really great for us to connect with, and we should do that, and I am about that. Also, just because we don't have those doesn't mean we're not doing communion. So I'm going to start playing a little music, and then I'm going to kind of talk for a second as your eyes are closed. And I want you to picture the feast. The feast is...
You can't do that. Remember Robin Hood when the boys.
Queen Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hood. Who?
Hook.
Yeah, Hook. Hood. That should be the joke one version. Yeah. The reference is exactly what I thought about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've actually mentioned that before. It's like this place, which is really, really a cool picture.
Yeah.
Like they're sitting around. Do you want to explain it? Has everybody seen Hook?
Peter Pan, played by Robin Williams, visits the Lost Boys, they have this table, and really, if you look at it, there's nothing there. But the boys close their eyes, and there's just this magnificent feast. There's turkey, there's pies with different things in it, and mashed potato. Anything you could imagine that you wanted to eat was there. And it was like a Godzilla-sized table, and you could just eat all you wanted, and there was no boundaries. You could just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and eat until you were full.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, so maybe the table looks like that in Hook. But maybe while we start, and then after that, you can open your eyes, you can stand up, raise your hands, bow. God's worth all the engagement we can give him. So I want you to close your eyes while I start to play a little bit. And I want you to picture a table, and it is full of food. It is full of things like joy and peace. It's full of what we need. And really, like if we are able to get past the, like, of, I guess, the offense of, like, seeing Jesus as the feast. Because some of us can deal with offense a little bit in that picture. They did back in his day. Jesus is the feast. We come to feast on Jesus, and he provides all that we need. So, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. And I come to die. And I come to die. And I come to die. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Hi, Liz. Meeting in the kids' room today. Why not? For those you don't know, Nikki and Chrissy are with their family in California because their mom is slowly dying right now. So, like, she's like in and out of consciousness, and like the hospice nurses are saying a couple of days. So after I think it'd be really nice to pray for them. I think thinking about like that, just like in that space, like that creates a sense of loneliness, like thinking about losing our loved ones, right? And and I really felt like this was worth going in, digging a little bit deeper. I love that song. I've been trying to figure out how to, it seems so simple, but I've been trying to learn how to play that song for like months. I think it's really like that thing of like, there's so many things in the world that can fill our plate up. And I'm not saying like all of it's bad, right? There's a lot of great stuff that God gives us, but if it's not Him on the in the if He's not the feast, we miss out. And so that whole thing of like only Jesus, it's all I need. It's real. See if I can find my notes here. Here you go. Loneliness. I was thinking about it, and we talked about it last week. And I said, loneliness to the soul is what hunger is for the body. Hunger is a physical sensation, and the feeling of loneliness is an emotional sensation. They point to our needs. They tell us what our needs are. Without hunger, we wouldn't eat, and we would die. And without loneliness, our condition would be much worse. If we don't connect with people, if we don't connect with God, that's a state that's like worse than not being physically present, right? To kind of like walk around and be empty. I was thinking about, like, if you think about all these old hymns, like that's that one we sang, and I was thinking about As the Deer Pants for the Water, and like these old hymns, they're all about Jesus. Like all of it's about Jesus. I'm wondering, like, for some of you that were here last week and we talked about it, what did you think about afterwards? Like, there's like more to be talked about, I think, about it. And I have some scripture I want to read, but I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are. For those of you here. Or those that weren't, maybe you have some thoughts too.
What we thought about? Or...
Yeah. I mean, so like there's a connection with what we were talking about. Like, and we shared some things when we were here. And then like, what's like some of the aftermath of that? I don't want to just point on a pain. This is, you know what I mean? I don't want to put my finger on a wound. That's not like my intention, right? So loneliness can really strike chords in certain people. And so like, I'm not about pushing on pain and then just stepping back. I'm about saying, okay, we have this feeling here. And the core at which we feel loneliness really is like when we're not connected with God, or when we have asked God for more of him and he creates more space, and then we need to go to him for him to fill that. But I think the core of loneliness is our need for connection with him. And then after that, as Jesus talks about, like, the fact is like, you know, he's talking to his disciples and he's saying, you will be known by your love for one another. He opens up the world. He's like, you can't just come and love God. You actually have to love others. You can't do one without the other, really wholeheartedly, you know? And so like they weave together, you know? And that puts us in a place of like, when we feel that, what do we do with it? I think the best place to go is to go to God. What do I need from him? And then he might direct us in like reparation of relationships, or maybe not. Sometimes we can't fill those places of loneliness because that relationship was unhealthy, and we have to set up boundaries, and we're not going to know that person anymore. So we may just have to sit in the pain, but do that with him. That's like that place of, right? Okay. So I'm not about to point. I just don't want to push on pain. That's not my goal.
I know for me sometimes, and it's changing, but like when I see families, mothers and fathers and kids, it really makes me sad sometimes because of my mother dying. I didn't have a really close relationship with my father. My mother died on Christmas Eve. And for some people, Christmas is happy, and for me, it's not.
Yeah.
And there's just times where you hear, like, oh, we're going to Disneyland, and it's like, never been to Disneyland. Mm. And it's not being resentful. It's sometimes I like to close my mind and imagine maybe me and my mom going to Disneyland.
Mm. Yeah.
And then, like, yesterday was the best day of my life. I got to spend time with family, and we went to a soccer game.
Awesome.
Never been to a soccer game.
Cool.
Ever. And it was just like, everything that was bugging me was gone by the time I got into the car. Had a great time, went home, and I think I fell asleep about 6 o'clock. And I slept until 10 o'clock this morning. I've never done that before. But I just gave it all with God before I went to bed. I said, God, I'm yours. Good night. And I haven't been able to do that in so long. Mm-hmm. And it was just like really cool to have family to do things with, finally. That, you know, I mean, I've got to just make myself willing and open to things like that. And speak out when people are doing things. Hey, you got room for one more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what church is for. That's what family's for.
For sure. It's awesome.
And I do, just so everybody knows, I'm going to make it official. I told somebody yesterday, I have a hearing aid. But like my teeth, I have to get comfortable with it first.
Okay.
Before I start wearing it, so.
Okay. Yeah. Let us know we're not speaking up enough, you know.
Well, you'll just see it.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
Glaze over well now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't be doing this when you're talking. Can you speak up?
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
The one just with loneliness, when what we talked about last week, and that to think about when we have that sense of loneliness, is that God is creating this chasm to fill us with more of Him. I really love that. I really thought about that a lot this week, just to be filled with more of Him. And but I just got this picture up where it says that we are the clay and He is the potter. And if you think of soft clay and He makes His imprint in us, you know, that He is imprinted on our hearts. But the thought that if you take a finger and push into the clay, there is this dip in it, right? There's this, you would call it a chasm, you know? And that God, He just wants to fill us more and more with Him. And to show us, you need me. And then it's out of that, like Aaron said, then we love one another. Then, you know, if we're not, it is both. But I just love that, how He wants to fill us more and more with Him.
That's cool.
It also reminds me of that, the poster of Footprints in the Sand.
Yeah.
When I'm in my loneliness, that's when He's carrying me. That's when He's cuddling me and saying, I got you, don't worry about it. Yeah. And you don't think about it when it's happening. Mm-hmm. But then afterwards, you're like, you know what? When I walked across the street and I almost got killed, I didn't get killed. So somebody must have been looking out for me. Mm-hmm. Or when I was going to the store and the store got robbed, I could have been killed. And you don't think about it when you're going through it. But then a few days later, if you really sit down and go, my God, three times this week, this could have happened. Or in a work situation, I could have been fired for that. And that's what God was holding you closest. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
It's just reassuring too for me last week. That's how I felt, because I like am always a people pleaser and I want everyone to like me and love me. And sometimes I feel like weak for it or whatever, but like hearing that, just talk about loneliness and creating that space for God, it kind of just reassured me that like it's okay to feel those things, and like that's just how God created us, and that space is maybe just being created. I mean, especially for me over the past like year or so, it's like that lots of space has been created, and I just like didn't realize it till a few months ago. And so like then hearing that, I'm like, oh yeah, that is what it is. It's like God created space for me to get closer to Him and stuff. So it was cool to be like reassured that it's okay, that I want everyone to like me and stuff and all that, you know what I mean? Like, like me and
don't worry, you're one of the family.
It's like that thing of like wanting to be in a relationship, wanting to be around people, like, you know, that's like a part of it. It's an extension, you know. And I mean, I think, you know, sometimes like we have to learn the balances, like healthy boundaries with people. That's a real thing, you know. And like God wants us to protect our heart a bit. Also, He wants us to like love people. So it's like figuring out all of that, like, you know, like it definitely, there's a whole, mentioned the potter, right? I was watching this series on Netflix. It's super cool. It's about glass blowing. It's kind of like, has anybody seen this at all? So it's kind of, have you seen it? Yeah. So it's kind of like Chef, like,
not that show.
Oh, glass blowing in general.
Yeah.
It is wild. And I've never like really seen it before like this. And they like start with like something like 8 contestants. It's kind of like the all of the contestant shows where they eliminate one every episode, right?
Yeah.
And they're doing these beautiful things with glass. And then to get to where they want to be, it's like it cools really quick. So they have to work with it while it's hot and soft. And then it cools, and then they stick it back in the fire to soften it again. And they pull it back out, and they continue to shape it, and it hardens, and they put it back in the fire. And I was like, wow, what a spiritual lesson like in this. What's that?
A&E has something like that.
Yeah.
And you can win like top prizes, like $50,000 in a new thing for your home where you can do it at home.
It's wild. It's really cool. Really cool to watch. And you're talking about the potter, and I'm like, there's these elements that we watch in the physical world, and God is like, look, I'm showing you how I work and how I do things in the physical world. And Jesus talks, he speaks in parables. It doesn't mean he's not trying to be elusive. He's talking about things that we can see and touch so we can understand the spiritual side of things. That was a lot of how Jesus talked. I'm gonna read in Hebrews. I think this is such a great place to start before I read in John. So Hebrews 1:1-3. Throughout our history, God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many different ways. The revelation he gave them was only a fragment at a time, building one truth upon another. But to us living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of his Son, the appointed heir of everything. For through him, God created the panorama of all things and all time. The Son is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of sins and then took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. Different translation than some of our used to, but I love the imagery it creates. Jesus is God. The simplicity of it is, was Jesus human? Yes. He was also God. He held two natures together. Which actually speaks a lot of hope to us as he created us to host divine nature. We bleed, we cut. Jesus bled, he could be cut. But we can house eternal God, right? In the part that God made to be eternal, our spirit. These bodies won't last forever. It's very apparent to us. But we do live forever. It's hard to understand, but it's true. Hebrews 1:1-3. And then I want to read this. So kind of like shooting off of the fact that Jesus speaks in a language to help us understand things. In doing so, sometimes he offends people. And I've talked about this passage before. In fact, I probably read it not that long ago. I just feel like it's so good. So I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it again. So if you remember this. So it's in John. It's in chapter 6. I hop around a little bit. I read like verse 36. And then I hop to, why can't I find stuff in this thing? It's like a new journal. And then you flip to the next page, and then I read from like 47 to 57. Okay. So Jesus is like, so what's happened? I'm just going to give you a little premise if you haven't heard this. Jesus feeds a whole crowd with fishes and loaves by a miracle. And then he leaves, and they all are chasing after him, right? They've seen him do miracles. They've seen all of these things. But they end up on the other side of the lake, and they're, where have you gone? And Jesus starts to reveal something in their hearts. He says, you look after me because you're hungry and you want to fill your bellies. That's kind of like just this short, the cliff notes of like what takes place before this, right? He says, I have bread that I can give you every day that lasts forever. And they're like, give us that bread because we want that bread, right? I don't want to have to work again. I'd love bread that just reappears in my fridge, right? I don't want to have to, like, you start to think about these things and Jesus is like, I'm not talking to, okay, so I'm going to read it. It says, please then, sir, give us this bread every day, they replied. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Come every day to me and you will never be hungry. Believe in me, you will never be thirsty. So we kind of go back to this table, this feast we imagined. It is Jesus. And when we feed from him, it's this spiritual picture. When we feed from him, we get joy, we get peace, we get strength, right? We get all these beautiful things. And he talks at one point in the Bible, he's all, don't worry about the things like food for your body. I will take care of you. Aren't the flower of the fields clothed even more beautiful than Solomon? Don't the birds have nests to rest? He says, don't worry about food. I will take care of you. Think about things like righteousness and he draws them in this spiritual world. And he's speaking about that spiritual world here. So I think when we picture the table, it's okay to picture turkey and sweet potatoes, right? It's there. I love sweet potatoes. Peace, joy, love, patience. There's these things he gives us that are everlasting. Further on, so after they start to grumble and they're like, you know, giving him this kind of like, where's the food? I want the food. Where's the food, right?
I want the linguine.
I want the linguine. Jesus says, I speak to you living truth. Unite your heart to me and believe, and you will experience eternal life. I am the true bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert and died. But standing before you is the true bread that comes out of heaven. And when you eat this bread, you will never die. I alone am the living bread that has come to you from heaven. Eat this bread and you will live forever. The living bread I give to you is my body, which I offer as a sacrifice so that all may live. He's invitational, all, right? Let's not miss these like really great words that he uses. Because some people think that there's like, he's only inviting a few. I'm sorry, that's just not what Jesus was doing. That all may live. He opens up this invitation for the whole world to come and partake. This table, he builds on the table. Every time a few people sit down, he builds so there's empty seats. Right? He's a carpenter after all, right? It says, these words of Jesus sparked an angry outburst among the Jews. They protested, saying, does this man expect us to eat his body? Jesus replied to them, listen to this eternal truth. Unless you eat the body of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have eternal life. Eternal life comes to the one who eats my body and drinks my blood, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my body is real food for your spirit, and my blood is real drink. Okay, so words that people miss, my body is real food for your spirit. They're already offended. They don't want to hear. They hear him talking about cannibalism. They don't want to hear the fact that he's clarifying. He's like, I'm talking about food for your spirit. They're like, whatever. We're already offended. The one who eats my body and drinks my blood lives in him, and I live in him. The Father of life sent me, and he is my life. In the same way, the one who feeds upon me, I will become his life. There's a need, right? There's a need that we all are born with. And that need can only be filled with God and can only be filled with Jesus. So oftentimes, loneliness, I think, we look at it like it's a problem. And it really is pointing to a need, right? And he wants to heal those places. So I want you, like, kind of, I want to go back into worship. And I want us to go in that space of, like, need. Let that need grow. For Jesus, sit at the feast. If your engagement with God is closed eyes, imagining a feast, then go there and engage with him there. If your engagement is something else, kneeling before the Lamb of God. I encourage you and God, when you feel something, don't think about the person on the right or the left of you. Sometimes you have a notion to raise your hand. It's a way that God's saying, connect with me there. If he's calling you to kneel down because he's king, connect with him there. He's not trying to shame us. He wants to connect with us. And we do connect with our physical bodies. He takes the two and he says, I'm going to talk about things like the physical and I'm going to be speaking of the spiritual. So we use the physical in ways to engage in the spiritual. So, thank you, Jesus. For all of you listening to this podcast, there are some blog posts on the revchurchslc.org if you want to listen to weeks that have been missed from podcasts. We love you all. What's that?